Okay.
How you doing?
Oh, not too bad.
You got back from Mexico, I guess?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mabel want me to call about this couple things you faxed.
Yeah.
One was this urgent for immediate action.
Yeah.
We didn't see how that fit in with the Army. This Cosmos Food Energy Marketing and the 16th Amendment and so on.
Uh-huh.
Was that people are supposed to respond from each republic on that?
Yeah.
With a complaint of some sort?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, how does that tie in with the military? It's not. It looks like maybe somebody's collecting names here of a lot of patriots. You don't suspect anything.
Well, what's the name? Checked them out. Ron Morgan.
Ron Morgan.
And Simon A.
Uh-huh.
That's Bo Greitz's guy that was running for vice president.
Uh-huh.
And he checked them out, too. And there's about four other guys that have been working and checking them out.
Mm-hmm.
So outside of just the input I got from them, everything seems to be legit, and they are working with Gonzalez.
Oh, I see.
But outside of that, you know,
hard to see.
Yeah, it's hard to say.
Well, I noticed it said down here, send your postcard or letter, and then it has your republic and your zip.
Yeah.
Republic doesn't have a zip, does it?
No.
So anyway, that's a little one of those things somebody from up there about your way taught me that.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, you see, when Ron talked to them, they didn't know anything about the Fuji case or the United Nations taking over. In other words, the Patriots, we've got more info than what they have. Well, they got a lot of info, but mm-hmm. Well, I mean, we've got more material that they don't have.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's, we're like Paul Harvey's The Rest of the Story.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh. Right.
So I'm going to call this guy tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
And find out, the one of the directors there.
Oh, okay. So you'll find out a little more about it.
Yeah.
Now, what's that case you mentioned, Fushuzi case?
Oh, the Sifuji case?
Yeah, which one is that?
That's the 83rd Congress.
Uh-huh.
Senate Document 87, page 288, 289.
Uh-huh.
Where they said that the United Nations Charter is now the supreme law of the land.
Oh, yeah, I heard, yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, that was the Fuji case in California in 1950 that set that.
Right. So that was actually as old, yeah.
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 And they didn't know about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know you mentioned that in the, was that in the Informer's book?
Yeah.
Someone wrote that, I guess.
And I have that. In fact, I'm printing up my volume 2 right now.
Uh-huh. Oh, good.
I'm going to have that done hopefully by the 1st of January.
Uh-huh. I hear the printer going.
Yeah. It's been going for the past hour.
Uh-huh. Did they, now did Mabel tell you, it looks like I'm going to be the editor of this newspaper, The Avenger?
Oh, yeah. No, she didn't say nothing about that, but I got a copy of it.
Yeah. Well, I plan to, you know, zap it up some more and everything. That was, they had a lot of trouble getting that out, and they had to change personnel and so forth, but
oh.
But I plan to make it change the format quite a bit, but basically some same stuff, but, you know, really get into it.
Right.
And so like that letter that the Informer wrote to that congressman, that former congressman.
Oh, Ron Paul, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I plan to put that in there, if he didn't mind.
Oh, sure. Okay.
Did you ever get, I wonder if he ever got, an Informer ever got an answer out of that.
Nope.
Yeah? Not that you know of, huh?
Nope.
Anyway, I thought I'd put that letter in there. See, I won't be able to officially start until about January 1st, because I'm quitting my rather cushy job, but I figured they're all going to go to pot anyway, so I'm not giving up that much. But it's my, it's I think it's a blessing for be an opportunity for me to get out of the Babylonian system.
Right.
And if I can, and then I pull together, as you see, with the information that Mabel has and the contact she has,
uh-huh.
And then with my writing skills, and I have some updated computer equipment,
okay.
Laser printer and all, so I think we might be able to, we're going to go full blast on it.
Oh,
and this will be up at the Freedom Law Center,
uh-huh.
up there with... you know, the guy in Tampa, you know.
Okay.
And Yeah, you got a copy. Yeah, what'd you think of it? Did you like it all right, or?
Yeah.
Any suggestions or criticism or anything, we'll send them in, but I'm gonna try to work up the format so that when people get something, you get an article, a lot of time you like to photocopy it out. You know, like Spotlight did for a couple of theirs.
Yeah.
You'll have like a regular page size, 8.5 by 11 or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And have a whole article based on where the guy can lay it down and photocopy it out. In the front and the back side, if it runs over, put it on the back side.
Oh, I see.
In other words, you know how they start an article in their typical newspaper.
Yeah, and it goes to page 12.
Then you have to search around for the joint.
Yeah.
So I'm going to change that whole format so that I keep everything together.
Yeah.
Block it in there. And then you can go out and you won't have to snip and carve around.
Right, because that is the problem with a lot of paper is you read something and you got to fish all the way to the back.
Yeah.
As you're going, you find something, you lock onto that, and you start reading a little bit of that, and then you go back to where you was.
It's ridiculous. I just have like a table of contents or a big index there, and people can go what they want. And then you can photocopy them out and use them.
Right.
Just like, say, the letter to the Informer's letter to Ron Paul. That would be all one shot. So people could photocopy it and pass it on.
Yeah, that would be good.
So I'm going to change the format like that and do a lot of practical things. But if you have any suggestions or anything, well, let us know.
Oh, okay.
Also, anything you want to write, we'll get it in there.
All right.
So we're going to come out with two a week or two a month.
Oh, two a month, huh?
Two a month. So that'll be quite a job.
Yeah.
And
yeah, because there's let's see. There's probably on the back end of this book a letter that I wrote to. Let me see. I wrote a letter to Gary Cooper. You know Gary Cooper down there in Florida that was. Well, he lived up where in Jersey, and he was arrested for tax evasion and all that.
I didn't know too much about that one.
And that's where they said. Because he had the Postal Service, because he used the Postal Service, he was a taxpayer and the Social Security.
Oh, I see.
You know?
Just by definition, using the services.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I just wrote him a letter.
Uh-huh.
And on 11/15.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll read the letter, and if you, he's out of jail.
Mm-hmm.
He spent 3 years in there. He's out on probation, and now they want to put him back because he won't fill certain forms.
Yeah.
All right. And I talked to him on the phone, and I couldn't make him understand, so I wrote this letter.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, my dear friend Gary, after talking to you on the phone, I realize you are entrapped by the government into a no-win argument about you being a taxpayer because you use the Postal Service. Well, I, too, would have to agree with the judge that indeed you were a taxpayer for using the Postal Service.
Mm-hmm.
Now, before you get your dander up at what I just said, let's look at three statements and the logic behind my statements. First, in my book, page 133, I quote Title 18, Section 3283, Revision Notes, wherein they state, quote, definition of revenue. Revenue is the income of a state, and the revenue of the post office department being raised by a tax on the mailable matter conveyed in the mail and which is dispersed in the public service, end quote. Second, the Department of Treasury is responsible for the printing and issuing the postage stamps to the Postal Service.
Mm-hmm.
Third, the stamps represent a tax for the privilege of using the Postal Service and are therefore considered a stamp tax, just like an alcohol stamp tax.
Mm-hmm.
Remember Schiff talking about a stamp tax in his book?
Mm-hmm.
When you bought the stamps and affixed them to the letters you sent, you became the taxpayer for the use of the postal system only, not for any other tax. Therefore, you are a taxpayer, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
You can't say no to that. What the government stated was correct, wasn't it? They just failed to state that it didn't make you a taxpayer for federal income in any other venture outside this Social Security,
right,
did it? You promptly argued, as anybody does, that it didn't make you a taxpayer, correct? And that's what his argument is.
Right.
You know?
In other words, sneaky little deals.
Yeah. You didn't qualify your statement with the above statements. I can sit back and Monday morning quarterback like anybody else, so I'm not faulting you for not bringing up the issue. They pulled a neat fraud upon you, didn't they? And then I gave the definition of fraud. And then I said after that, I got out of Amjur also. Then I said, boy, Gary, did they fit the above description to a T? But did they have a duty to inform you if you didn't ask? Well, yes and no. Yes, on a moral plane, but they are not moral. Look up moral turpitude. The charge was evasion of an income tax, not a stamp tax. All they did was call you a taxpayer for using the postal service. What's evil, wrong, or dishonest about that? You just assumed something that they did not say.
Right.
So the real issue was not addressed as to the other foundation that made you a taxpayer for the other federal income tax. It's already a presumptive conclusion, non-rebuttable fact, that you are a taxpayer for using the postal service. So move on to the real argument. You have to change your thinking. It's either VATF-oriented, so where is the instrument bearing your signature involving you in a commercial venture with the United States Corporation whereupon you failed your fiduciary liability to file and pay the return tax, which then made it a commercial crime under 27 CFR 70.11? Or did they have to prove you are a United States citizen or resident subject to the debt payment to the real party of interest, the IMF, through the private Federal Reserve, which is only licensed by the United States Congress? This makes the United States the front organization for its limited partnership with the group it licensed. The United States did not incorporate the Federal Reserve. But it goes deeper because the United States is also the debtor to the IMF to deposit its taxes in the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve is also the depository for the IMF. Do they have a scam going for them? So sue the United States. They didn't do anything wrong legally. Morally, yes. It was their licensed organization that did the wrong. Ever wonder why the caption for the plaintiff reads, "The United States of America and Revenue Officer such and such"? The Revenue Officer is not part of the United States, but part of the Federal Reserve. So two parties have to be listed. If you were to sue General Motors for a bad car, you wouldn't sue the state that incorporated it, would you? Well, that's what we do when we sue or defend. Then I says, look up real party of interest, then real party in interest. Since the United States licensed the Fed, it has a beneficial interest in the organization, so it can't be the real party of interest, can it? Now do you see why the real party of interest never came to court so you could challenge them for the document that made you liable for that particular activity? Only the beneficial party in interest showed to keep the fraud ongoing by insinuating you are, and rightly so, a taxpayer for using the postal service. I says, aha, but the agent for the real party of interest is listed as agent such and such. Just use logic. If the agent was an officer of the United States, his name would not appear on the complaint. His boss, if he was a government agent, certainly doesn't appear. That's Brady, huh? Remember, in contract law, the real party of interest never appears, only the agent. And is a very important word, and you can find it on page 67 of my book. It separates both plaintiffs in the caption as they are distinct severals. Just trying to help a dear friend overcome some obstacles he didn't realize was in his way by simple wordology. They are all guilty of treason and sedition and should suffer the consequences. Sincerely.
Very good. Yeah, well, we get that in the paper if it's all right with you.
Sure.
Yeah, that's excellent.
I'll run a copy off and then send
yeah.
it down to you.
Also, you sent down to Mabel a while back, it looked like a fairly large document that you'd written about jurisdiction and so forth, right on up the line. I think it must have been around 10, 15, maybe 20 pages. You remember that one? Probably your last biggest work. Oh, maybe you sent it to Jeff and he sent it down. Probably your latest biggest work. Do you recall which one it was?
I'm trying to think. Can you give me some...
Well...
What was it? What, was it a case or what?
Was it a case? I think it was a write-up on a case. It was like a brief or something like that. The reason I mention it is that we loaned it to, as soon as Mabel got it, and we were on our way north and to up in Tampa area, and we gave it to Guy. I think I can still get a copy of it, but it's been temporarily misplaced. You know, we can't seem to get it back from where we loaned it. And I thought if you knew what it was, if you could get another one of those, it'd be good, because it looked like it was real good on there. I think it was a brief you'd written for somebody, and it involved talking about the, you know, on up and the IMF and so on. I think it was some of your current thinking on it. It was big enough work that it was, it could have been like 10 to 20 pages.
Yeah.
23, Leo thinks.
Huh?
Leo thinks it's 23, and he thinks he sent it to Jeff, and then Leo brought it down.
Yeah, there was one I just sent to him just last week. So it
was that last week? It must have been a week before. Not over, around 2 weeks ago. Well, anyway, if you think about it and you could put it in, I hate to have you do duplicate work, but it looked like it's real good and we wanted to get a copy and didn't want to get away from us, you know.
Yeah, just trying to think. One of them I sent to him that says don't pass out.
Oh.
The other one, I'm trying to think of what it was.
Yeah. Well, if you think about it, but that'd be good though if I could get a copy of what you just read, because that is that's something another little way, you know, as part of our illiteracy. We can't read, we presume everything, and we fill in the blanks and they're not even there, and then we're guilty.
Right.
Think we're guilty of something.
I can send this one over to you. No problem.
Yeah, and then I want to get the other one there in too that you did about that light, you know, to the congressman.
Oh, yeah.
On that congressman. You know, I already have it.
I called the Joint Chiefs of Staff.
Yeah, we were going to ask about this, the military thing.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And basically got to go to the provost marshal on a military base, to the MP. So the provost marshal, I asked him, and he says, yeah, that would be all right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you file your Title 18, Section 4, misprision is a felony.
Uh-huh.
So
that's where they're filed, with the military.
Yeah. In other words, don't use the courts, because the courts aren't our courts anymore.
Uh-huh.
You know,
so everything is military now for us.
Yeah. Yeah, it would have to go military.
Uh-huh. Well, what about filing on Ralph's stuff, then?
Well, that's where he's got to file his Title 18, Section 4. That's what he called, Jeff called the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and they said to send it to them down in Washington.
Mm-hmm. That'll be good.
So they're drafting it up, and that's what he told me last week. He was drafting it up, and they were going to send it down to the Joint Chiefs of Staff.
Uh-huh. Now, you say, Mabel said that you were saying that the military is definitely onto this whole, getting onto this whole scam, and they put their foot down?
Yeah, because I'm helping the guy up in South Dakota on his case with FHA and the income and all that, and the IRS.
Mm-hmm.
And he was in the courts, and then he tied up with this Army intelligence officer, and the Army intelligence officer was writing some papers for him.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a little leery and skeptical about doing it at first, but he went ahead and went into, he's now in the appeals court, all right? And the military guy says, don't worry, because you're not going to lose in the appeals court. So then he related to me that the judge in the lower court that ruled against him on the FHA loan, you know, and stuff like that, in the state, on the state level, they arrested him. The military did.
Mm.
And they're going after the entire Supreme Court of the South Dakota.
Of South Dakota?
Yeah. Uh-huh. And they already have three judges under investigation in his case.
Wow. Well, what about, say, a guy like Mike over there on the other coast? Could you get them investigating some of those judges over there?
Oh, yeah. Just file your misprision of felony under for treason and sedition.
Mm-hmm.
And they all have knowledge of it because of the United Nations being the supreme law of the land and they have this company, Cosmos Company, has 122 congressmen, $2 million apiece checks that they cashed. Front money. And Bush. And they plan on arresting four presidents and 122 congressmen on the 5th and 6th of December.
Wow. four of our past presidents as well?
Yep. They've already put Reagan, Carter, Ford, Bush. Let's see, Reagan, Carter, Ford, and Bush. And Kissinger and Schultz, Baker, and on notice for arrest for treason and sedition.
Wow.
And in fact, Baker even wrote to them or talked to them and, quote, says, "You people aren't going to live," end quote. They found four covert companies that the United States had put into business.
Mm-hmm.
And when they found out that, they went and found out that they didn't pay their taxes.
Mm-hmm.
So this seafood company bought them out, paid the taxes, and now owns that, and they says you wouldn't believe the millions of dollars that is flowing into those accounts.
Hmm. No, but
Germany came to the seafood company to borrow money to pay for their reparations. That's how powerful. This is the largest company in the world.
Yeah, Well, who owns that? There's not the Jews behind it, then, is there?
No, there's three guys.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of their. The one's name is on there, the CEO that you see.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one is a guy named Nicolau.
That's in Illinois, isn't it?
Huh?
This is in Illinois.
Yeah, Andy Nicolau. Well, they're out of Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
That's where they put the Republic.
Mm-hmm.
What they've done is they've created a republic in which Spain, France, Germany, and I can't remember what other country they said, recognizes them as a republic of the United States, rather, and they know about the de facto government, the
mm-hmm.
democracy,
mm-hmm.
run by Bush and all those turkeys, you
mm-hmm.
know.
Well, this is getting wild, isn't it?
Yeah, and they have three houses full of documents to back up everything they have. And they had, they said that they've just about taken care. They've leaned every bank in this country.
Mm.
And they can pull the note anytime they want. And that's why they're going under. Because they said that they are going to wipe out the Federal Reserve.
Mm-hmm. So that's going to, when they're going to do away with that Federal Reserve, that's coming out by
before the end of the year.
Uh-huh.
Because if they pull their notes
before the end of the year,
then
yeah, we heard the 17th through Ralph today. We'll play that tape a little later.
What's that?
We heard the 17th that was coming down.
Well, the 15th is a bank holiday.
Uh-huh.
The 19th is when FDIC controls all the banks that are have less than 2%
uh-huh.
assets.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And this they want to have all these documents in. I figure, hey, just put in a fictitious name if you want.
Uh-huh.
You know, just put a fictitious name with there and send it.
On this one you're talking about here?
Sure.
No. Yeah, because they need evidently they need representation from each of the area of the republic.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're worried about putting your real name, hey, just put a
yeah.
John Jones and put the street. And so what if they come to, say, a house,
yeah.
and it comes to, say, your house,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's just
somebody else put it in there, yeah.
It's just a drop-off for this guy.
And so that was, so you just put down any of these things, just put a few complaints down, like the Federal Amendment, 16th Amendment, just throw in some of the stuff, right?
Yeah.
Nothing
yeah.
elaborate, nothing.
Like I said, whatever you want to put in there.
Nothing legal and technical and so on, just a complaint
no.
from your area.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You want to abolish the de facto government.
Right.
You want to get back to a uh-huh. Republican form of government where your rights are protected.
So you're calling them tomorrow?
Yeah.
And, well, I haven't been able to call back again after that and see what you found out.
Uh-huh.
And what's these, now who's in charge of these, military on the Joint Chiefs of Staff? I mean, the boys are supposedly on our side now. What?
Yeah, I don't know about
any
that.
Any specific names or anything on that?
No, I'm supposed to be in touch with that, military intelligence officer, but I got to wait for the phone call to come third-handed because there's, you know, this guy, I can't call him. He don't have a phone.
Right.
And I got to wait for him to call me.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's going down to Colorado to see this military officer, and that's where the Cosmos company is, so I'm putting two and two together because of what Cosmos has done on this because with the FBI and the CIA and all that.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, well, it looks like something for real then on this.
Yeah.
So anyway, as you get things in, as you're doing anyway, you're feeding it down here, but we'll get this in. Looks like maybe a break on the news. You know, the guy down here is got the cable TV going, and apparently after the second meeting, they wanted him to sign up for another 13 weeks.
Oh, yeah?
And he's bashing the Jews, I mean, right out. They're just bashing them.
Uh-huh.
And then...
Well, you know what you do? You say, if they call you an anti-Semite,
mm-hmm.
or they call you a white power guy or white supremacist,
right. Yeah.
Of course not. You know what you are?
Separatist.
A separatist.
Yeah, well, Mabel told me about that on that tape. And that is better, yeah. That's what the Bible says, be ye separate anyway. Come out of her, be ye separate.
Right.
So we're separatists.
So, the separatist, you don't want anything to do with
yeah.
blacks, Jews, Catholics, Irish, Italian, mm-hmm. Polish, you know, whatever you want. You're a separatist.
Yeah.
You don't care whether it's a man from Mars or what.
Well, like
this, you want
yeah.
to be separate.
Just like Scripture said, kind after kind. They were
yeah.
created kind after kind.
Yeah.
My dad used to always say, I remember him saying this a lot of times, he said, birds of a feather flock together.
Uh-huh.
That's all.
Yeah.
And it's in there either, I don't know if that's in the Scripture or not, but he's always saying that, birds of a feather flock together.
Uh-huh.
So that's the way it's supposed to be.
Sure.
And anyway, I'll be then on this newspaper... See, we had a guy, he had a guy that's cranking it out, and there were some real serious problems with him. And so just about 3 weeks ago, then Charles up there asked me if I wanted to do it.
Uh-huh.
And I had to think about it about a week, and we did some prayer and so on. It looks like, you know how, you know when you're a volunteer, when there's no one else that's there and is capable. And I have the equipment and the interest and the knowledge, quite a bit of knowledge, and in the contacts through Mabel and through others, you know, and so... He wants this paper. It's going to. Of course, he's got the vision. This guy up here has really put in a short period of time. He's put together a tremendous setup already.
Uh-huh.
You know, it has its growing pains, but it's remarkable what he's put together in a short period of time.
Oh, okay.
And he plans to have this distributed in a number of languages in all over the world.
That paper?
Yeah, he has contacts. He says he knows Yeltsin personally in Russia. He says a lot of stuff we're hearing about Russia, you know, is not it. But
yeah.
He's got a lot of contacts in Russia and he in Germany, and because he was a big oil man
uh-huh.
for Gulf Oil and so forth. So he has contacts all over.
Okay.
And so this paper, he says, is going to be it. He says it's going to go out by the, you know, thousands.
Uh-huh.
Right now we just printed up, you know, like 3,000. We're in the fledgling stage. But so...
Yeah.
It's filtering in to where we're getting control of this paper, you know,
uh-huh.
our people's, quote, so to speak.
Okay.
And we'll be getting in this, the lineage, we'll be bashing the Jews on it,
uh-huh.
and the ritual murders, the whole ball of wax. We're not pulling any punches. It's not controlled. We're not beholden to anybody, and we're willing to put our lives on the line for it.
Okay.
So
the
send down whatever you want
okay.
put in there.
The...
In the military, whatever you got on that.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. The one, I'm just trying to, I was still trying to think of that case. I know there's a couple of them that I sent, Ralph. I'm still trying to think of that about it. But
so
the one case, that's an ongoing case. That's why I didn't, I sent it up to Ralph. And I told Jeff emphatically, don't let this out to anybody.
Okay. Well, so he probably didn't do that one.
I hope that was the one that Leo got sent out, because that case is a ripe case right now, ongoing.
Uh-huh.
And I don't want to screw it up by having people use and
no.
start printing it out. You know?
Right, right. Well, if that... Okay, now, you want to... Oh, yeah, we're going to have to play one for Ralph here, if you're, unless you got some more information. We're going to play... He just called us today and gave us some good stuff.
Oh, he did?
From Dan Knight. And it ties, dovetails with some of the stuff you're saying about the military and so forth. You want to, you got your recorder on? You can listen to this, then. You got a recorder?
No.
Or you just want to listen to it? We'll just...
I'll go ahead and listen. I don't have a tape here.
Next 3 years is not going to be like the last three, I guess.
Oh, no, because I know they had even said that they are even doubtful that Clinton will become the president.
That what now?
That Clinton... will not become
oh, really?
The office.
Uh-huh. They said it will not? No, who said that?
This is the
seafood place?
Seafood company. Yeah.
Well, they're tough, huh?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And they're the ones that's going to be behind instituting the money, the silver standard, and so forth.
Oh yeah, because of them and putting the liens on the bank, mm-hmm. Yeltsin didn't get his money. $18 billion didn't go to Israel.
I see.
England and Spain didn't get their money, and neither did Germany. And that's why Germany came to the seafood company to get a loan.
I see. Huh. Now, how did the seafood company get in, how did they get in such
power?
They
have an 1875 gold certificate.
Oh, okay.
And a real one.
Oh, so they use that for their leverage.
Yep.
Just like one of our patrons where he took a silver dollar and went and bought a farm.
Yeah.
Same idea?
Uh-huh.
I'll be darned. So they got back to the law.
Right.
They're the only one that had the law.
Uh-huh.
I'll be darned. Well, that's interesting. I was just telling Mabel that my grandmother, when she died, they found a bunch of gold certificates in her chest at the foot of her bed.
Right.
And they were, of course, they were to have been handed in.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, evidently they did hand them in at that time. This was in, like, the 40s or 50s they found this. And they were supposed to have been passed in earlier.
Uh-huh.
But evidently, someone had one, and they brought it out, and that's how they got all this leverage?
Yeah, oh. Yep.
Something simple. The father uses something simple to bring it down.
Uh-huh. And because they put a lien on every bank, that's why the Federal Reserve is going to go under. And I was
listening to
a guy talking about the Canadian company, the guy from Canada, just yesterday.
Uh-huh. Huh. Well, you know, in the scripture it says, Mr. Babylon has fallen.
Uh-huh.
And it is falling. It's three repetitions. And then it talks about the merchants of the world groaning, moaning, complaining.
Oh, yeah.
It's a commercial venture that's obvious.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the beautiful city is gone.
Yeah.
So they're cushy thing there.
Yeah.
What would do, say, if a guy had just bought a car and he had a big mortgage on that, you know, like a payments, what would that do? They wipe that out?
Yeah. In fact, this company says that they're going to get rid of the agriculture department,
mm-hmm.
the farmer's home,
mm-hmm.
and all the alphabet agencies.
I see. Well, see, what I did recently is, see, my truck, the one you rode in one time?
Yeah.
It has like 115,000 miles on it, so I swapped. The spirit told me to go in and swap it. That's why I'm blaming it on anyway. Just a number of things fit together, and I really wasn't looking for a car, but I went in and got a nice new Dodge van.
Right.
And before I did that, though, I had my friend in Tampa to read the contract, and he said it's a fraudulent contract anyway.
Uh-huh.
Nowhere in there does it say anything that you're going to own anything. It doesn't say. It mentions you get about a title. Well, of course, there is no title. It's a certificate of title.
Right.
So he said, well, suit yourself. If you want to get the van, get it, because he says it's a fraudulent contract. We'll go in and afterward and sign, you know, to contest it. But so I just got this. It's got about 1,000 miles on it now. What will, say, after the 15th, after the first of the year, what do you think of my outlook would be on that? It's financed for about $20,000, which is no way I'm going to be able to, to do that.
Yeah, because, see, when the banks go all under, all their notes are going to be gone. The only way that they're going to do it is call in all their notes.
Uh-huh.
Well, if nobody's got any money, they're going to call the notes in. They just take possession of what it is. And then where are they going to sell it?
Uh-huh. Well, what I do, now, I signed everything without prejudice, but the guy wouldn't let me sign the banking contract without prejudice. You know, I signed out all the other papers.
Uh-huh.
But I told him, I says, you know, he'd already switched my car, you know, junk out of my car and it and everything, I was under the pressure to go ahead with the deal.
Uh-huh.
And I said, I tell you what, I said, the uniform, of course, he didn't know anything about the UCC and on this, and he was getting real nervous. He says, well, I tell you what we'll do. He said, if you're going to sign this, insist on signing this without prejudice, he says, we'll just wait and I'll have to call Detroit tomorrow, with GMAC.
Uh-huh.
He says, and see if what about. And I said, well, the law provides that I can do it. I said, but also, as far as I read the thing, and I says, as I understand it, I can, if I tell you in front of a witness here that my intention is I want to send this without prejudice, you won't allow me, then I can send you a notarized, not notarized, but just a paper later, and mail it to you in return receipt.
Right.
And I says, it's just as good because it's the intent. And then you give the writing as soon as you can after the intent.
Right.
And he said, well, would you do that? He said, that would be fine. And I said, well, you won't let me sign it this way? And he says, nope. You know, because he would have been real gentleman about it.
Right.
And so we went ahead and signed it on that basis.
Uh-huh.
So if I go ahead and sign that and complete this without prejudice, then I'll be into leverage too, wouldn't I?
If you sign it without prejudice, yeah.
Yeah, if right. I go ahead and get that in before, you know, this week.
Uh-huh.
That gives me some leverage.
Sure, because that's a commercial venture.
Yeah.
And, you know, they can't restrict you from signing that without prejudice.
Right. Well, that's what he did, but since he did that, as I read that Anderson's code...
Uh-huh. You got 3 days.
You only got 3 days to do it?
Yeah.
Well, I passed that, though. I thought it was you had to do it as soon as convenient afterward.
Well, that's 3 banking days.
Uh-huh. Well, I still think I passed that. But I signed the other stuff without prejudice. For example, here was what was interesting. He put the certificates of origin out there in front of me.
Oh, yeah.
And I had to sign the back of those, but I couldn't get a copy of it.
Uh-huh.
And that's probably a violation of something right there. You have to sign something, you can't get a copy of it?
I got the certificates of the origin on the trailer.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yeah.
How'd you get a hold of that?
What they did was we put it in the trust, and they had Mom's name on it.
Mm-hmm.
And we said, can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because we got it from the motor vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
So we went and we sold it back to the same company. And then they had to go through a new title.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we got the... And we kept it. And instead of turning it back over to motor vehicle,
mm-hmm.
we kept it.
I see. Well, they had it right there in front of me.
Sure.
I'm wondering if I get... if I had that letter written where I want to reserve my rights and it was motor...
You see, what you need is the bill of sale, because the certificate of title and the certificate of origin is meaningless. It's the bill of sale that proves ownership.
I see.
So make sure you keep your bill of sale.
Okay, well, the bill of sale I signed without prejudice.
Yeah. Well,
your financing statement was the one that the one that goes to the banker
uh-huh.
is the one he was hedging on.
Yeah.
So what should I do now?
Just make sure you keep your bill of sale.
Okay.
And it's got your signature on it, it's got the dealer's signature on it. That bill of sale is your proof of ownership, and it supersedes any certificate of title.
Okay, I didn't know that. Now, what they did, they typed their name in it. They didn't sign it, I don't think. I don't think they've even signed it.
The seller?
Yeah, they typed their name on it, under where it says signature. They typed like... J.W. Dodge Company, or whatever the name of the company would be.
Oh, okay.
See what I mean? Now, is that a finagle, or...
Wouldn't have their agent's signature don't appear there, huh?
No, I don't think so. So that means they've signed... they've turned over the car, and they don't even... they didn't even sign it, so they wouldn't give them any leverage there.
Uh-huh.
Would it? That'd be in my plus, wouldn't it?
Uh-huh.
But sometimes if they type it, I understand under the Uniform Commercial Code, if you type something, if it's in the intent is it's your signature, then that's a signature.
Yeah, if that's a standard practice.
Yeah, I think it is for them. You know, car dealers, they're moving quite a few of them here and there.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's interesting. Well, what I was thinking, just to tighten up that the lien, see, the lien is the one I didn't sign, but I told him my intent was to reserve my rights. And that I would send him something, which I haven't gotten around to yet. It hasn't been very long, but it's been like a week.
Oh, okay.
But if I have a notarized letter to them, and the notarization of the letter is less than 3 days or less, that'd probably be pretty good leverage, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Even though I mailed it later?
Yeah.
Or I could just go, I'd just do it and take it hand delivered.
Yeah.
Because I think I've got a notarized copy of that within the 3 days.
Right.
How's that?
Sure, that's fine.
Okay. I think I can work that out. Okay, well, I'll put you on. It's always been a real pleasure to talk with you, and Anyway, I'm excited about this new job thing and everything coming down at once and be a chance for me to try, because I'm getting bored in my working under this gold fringe flag in the school, see?
Uh-huh, yeah.
And it's my chance to come out from under her, and I think it's, if I don't do it, I think the father's going to chastise me badly. He'll say, hey, boy, you had your chance. So I've got to do it. And it's a step out in faith, because I'm leaving the, about a $45,000 a year job.
Yeah.
And going in and to nothing.
Right, right. It'll be a struggle for
it'll be a little struggle, yeah. Okay, here's Mabel.
Okay.
Oh, she said she didn't have any more. Is there anything else you got then?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Well, we're keeping tabs. I think maybe she'll call you tomorrow or next day to find out what you found out, if you're going to call that company.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Okay?
Uh-huh.
All righty.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Yep.